Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Are we ready tonight? Lift your hands toward heaven one more time and talk to the Lord.
Shekinah is here. I release the sound of the heavens, the sound of creation. Yahweh is here. We cry, holy, 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 unto Yeshua. Yahweh is here. We cry, holy, 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 unto Yeshua. Yahweh is here. Yahweh. Yahweh. Yahweh.
Father, we thank you for another opportunity to receive. Thank you for what you've begun to do even tonight. Thank you for the word that has come. Thank you for the impact. Thank you for the illumination. Thank you for the transformation. Thank you for the empowerment. Again, Lord, we draw from your spirit and we ask that you furnish us with even greater dimensions as we receive with meekness. Let your name alone be glorified. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Before we round up, if there is an ascension, we will go back there. Can we celebrate Minister Nosa one more time? What a blessing. I was waiting for when you will say, hey, hey, hey. We will find it on YouTube. Glory to God. How has the conference been? Triumphant. Glory to God. Tonight, I want to share with us on spiritual forces that engenders triumphant living. And I believe God will help us. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, there are many mysteries in this realm. And the reason it is so is simple. One of the governments that rules the realm of God is the government of mysteries. Nosa began speaking about the inner court. You know, when you start journeying with God, there are depths of intimacy. There is the outer court. The outer court is for everybody. who is in the family of God. And the outer court is illuminated by the sun, the rays of the sun. And you see, the rays of the sun, it's a universal ray. So it imparts both the good and the evil. And that is why when you come to the outer court, you find people with different ideologies and philosophies. And so God entertains them that way. And if you enter the outer court, you discover the first thing you confront is the altar of sacrifice. Because God knows you came with garbage. The garbage is enormous. And so he begins the process and the protocol of sanctification. You encounter the altar of sacrifice. You encounter the lava where the priest washes himself before you go deeper. Now when you proceed from the outer court into the Holy of Holies, you will find another kind of ray. It's called the menorah. And the menorah is the seven governments of the spirit. There are seven governments that rules the civilization of God. One of it is the government of light, or the mysteries of God. It's the reason the devil cannot preempt God. Every time he tries, he fails. The Bible said, if the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They thought in killing Jesus, they would stop the move of God. But when Jesus was killed, the Holy Ghost was distributed to all humanity. Because before Jesus went to the cross, the Holy Ghost, the entirety of the Holy Ghost was trapped in Christ. He was the only begotten Son of God. But the moment he was hung on the cross and resurrected from the dead, it became a buffet. Anybody could draw and be filled with the Spirit. And so because the realm of God is ruled by mysteries, it is wisdom to obey. You can take one step forward, it's 10 years. You go back, it's not 10 years backward. If you go back, it can be forward. Because it is ruled by mysteries. And so, when you contemplate the ways of the Spirit, it will humble you. And one of the humbling things I have found in my study of God is the design of man. I have prayed this prayer that God will help a generation to come to the zenith of all God planted in this creature called man. When you study that realm carefully, you will discover that the realm is regulated by a lot of entities that participate in God's economy. And some of these entities are angelic functionaries. And among the angelic functionaries, they are cadres and they are ranking. And if you study these beings, you will discover that they operate by enormous authority. You find those that sit around the throne of God, they are called the 24 elders. The first question you ask yourself is, what makes a being an elder in a realm that does not have time? What is the parameter? What makes a being an elder in a realm that is not regulated by the forces of time? But as you study their operation, you discover two things stand out. Number one, they are custodians of the secrets of God. When John was in heaven weeping, one of the elders came to him. In Revelation chapter 5, he said he wept much. And an angel, a strong angel, spoke. And it looked as if there was no hope for humanity. And John was weeping in heaven until an elder came to him and said, "Weep not." That angel does not know much, even though he's in heaven, because this thing is a function of scrolls. He said, meanwhile, that thing that angel does not know, he said, "Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, he is not prevailing, he has prevailed." So what you think is a breaking news is in the past. So they are custodians. They are custodians. That's one of the things that makes them elders. And the second thing is that they are beings of brokenness. Although they have thrones, they have crowns, they don't wear them. Neither do they sit on the thrones. They prostrate and they keep worshipping day and night. They cast their crown. And so you find certain features about this being. And the kind of power they wield is enormous. So enormous that they sit with God in a cabinet of heaven. As though they participate with God in ruling all of his entities, all of his creation. But you see, that's not all you see in heaven. There are other creatures called dominions. Dominions are princes that are sent to govern over realms that are created.
So a dominion is actually a prince that has a territory. That's why when man was created, one of the things that was given to man was dominion, so that he will be the prince that ruled the earth. So when you become a dominion, you have authority either over a quadrant of God's people, a quadrant of God's angels, or a territory. So they are also dominions in the realms of God. And they are not only dominions, they are principalities, they are powers, and they are rulers. All of these are entities of glory. Now, when God decided to create man, the realms of the spirit had existed for aeons. Because it's not regulated by time, it will be futile to attempt to determine the age of that realm. But that civilization had gone on for only God knows how long. And suddenly God decided to create another realm and to create another entity. Now, the reason the subject of man has become a concern is the fact that the statements God made when he made man, considering what has been, is why I am troubled. If God created us like angels, maybe like an archangel, that would have been a huge blessing. Because there are some angels that, the Bible spoke about an angel that passed through the earth in one night and slew 185,000 people. Now, what kind of might is that? What weapon was he using? The Bible said they excel in strength. The Bible speaks of some princes. When one angel appeared on earth, he said one of his foot was on all the waters. The question is, were the oceans gathered together or is his foot many? And he said he put another one and he covered all the lands. And when the angel shouted, he said 1/3 of the birds died. Such is the excellency of the angelic order. The ranking of that realm is something so superlative that the mind cannot comprehend. But when God wanted to create man, he didn't deem it fit to create us like archangels. And the Bible said in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, he said, let us make man. Now, if God created us in the image of the Son, that would have been glory enough. If he created us in the image of the Spirit, that would have been glory enough. If he created us like the Father, that would have been glory enough. But he said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. That means when you study into man, you are going to find the dimensions of the Holy Ghost. You are going to find the dimensions of the Son, and you are going to find the dimensions of the Father. No wonder the psalmist was contemplating in Romans chapter 8 verse 4, he said, what is man? It's not who is man, it's what is man. Because the infrastructure that is gathered together here is not, that means to understand man, you have to study God. Because we were created to reflect him. I'm saying this because we are looking at a theme, very sensitive, triumphant. And what that goes to mean is that if a man fails, it should be a project work. You need to study how he was able to fail. Because he was not created to fail. He is designed in the image and in the likeness of God. He operates in the God class. He functions after the order of the divine. His expression should reveal the likeness of the Elohim. So that when you want to know God in a very detailed sense, you are supposed to look at the projection of God, which is the man who was created in his image and in his likeness. How did he fall? And how was it that failure became part of his expression? It's a mystery that will be studied for all eons. Because the man was not designed to fail. When God created man, he decided to do a test run. And he said, these animals have been named, but go and name them, let's see what you will call them. And the Bible said, every name the man called the animals was the name thereof. He didn't make one mistake. He operated at the mental frequency of divinity. Everything they were called was what he called it. And he didn't need to peep into any document. Because when he looked into himself, he drew out rivers that are eternal. The very essence of God was expressed through him in a likeness that was after the order of the divine. But this man fell. And he said, they know not. Neither will they understand. He said, they will walk on in darkness. He said, for I have said, ye are gods, because you are the children of the Most High. You were created to model God. You carry his DNA and you have the power to reveal his dimensions. He said, but you will fall like one of the princes. Although you were created in a class superior to their realm, but you will fall because you know not and you walk on in darkness. It so therefore means that there is a technology incorporated in darkness that can defy. And so when a man is talking about triumphant living, he needs to understand what it takes to rule the realms of darkness. Because if you cannot rule the realm of darkness, although you are created like God to reveal God, you can fall like one of the princes. Because there is something about darkness that can defy you. And so as mystical as the man is, so also is darkness. And so when we are talking about triumphant living, we are not just coming to be excited. We need to study the world and look closely, finding out what does it take to live above darkness. Because the only thing that has the power to make you live beneath the realm of God is the operation of darkness. And so triumphant living is actually operating at a level beyond the realms of darkness. Because the man that was designed in the order of God allowed darkness to corrupt him. And he fell. And he began to operate like a fallen creature. Now the good news is that in Christ we were restored. And now that we have been restored, it is expected of us to live perpetually above darkness. Because darkness is on a mission. And it's only a naive person that assumes there is nothing like darkness. It's only a naive person that assumes that the things that happen on earth are a set of circumstances. Everything you see happening here is orchestrated deliberately from the spirit realm. Nothing here works by chance. There's nothing like luck. Everything you see is a worked out reality by spirits that control their outcomes. And one of the things that operate in this realm is the power of darkness. If we will live triumphant, then we must come back to our status of divinity and rule over darkness. And so when I speak about the forces of triumphant living, I'm talking about the equipping that we need to function above the realms of darkness. I was reading the Bible and I saw Psalm 74 verse 20, and it said the dark places of the earth are filled with the habitations of cruelty. And I thought, oh, there are a few selected places on earth that is full of darkness. So the way to live, as that scripture advises, is to subscribe to the covenant or to avoid those regions. And then I stumbled on Isaiah chapter 60 verse 2. And it said the whole earth is covered with darkness. So the dark places of the earth is the whole earth. So there is no hiding place. The only way to live is to rule above darkness. If you cannot rule above darkness, you will be a victim of the outcomes and the orchestrations of darkness. My job is not to teach about darkness. My job is to teach you how to rule over it. Because you don't need to know everything about cancer to live above it. What you need to do is to know what to do to avoid it or to dominate it. So that I don't make the mistake of glorifying Satan. The good news is that there are things you do that makes you live above darkness. So let's focus on it for now. However, there are three definitions of darkness when you study the Bible. The first expression of darkness is demons and their influences. The second expression of darkness are demons and their operations. And the third definition of darkness are the mysteries that rule the realms. But we are not going into all of that now. My focus is on the forces that helps you to live above darkness. If you will be triumphant, those forces must become what defines your existence. I have a lot of scriptures I want to read. That's why I'm calm. So that we can read Bible. Because it's a body. When you touch the realm, you become volatile. And when you become volatile, you vaporize. Hallelujah. Praise God. So there are five forces I have listed here that helps you to rule above darkness.
I will list them. So wherever we stop, God will help us with the rest. Number one is the power of illumination. If you want to live above darkness, you must constantly be illuminated. You cannot afford to allow your light to be quenched. Your illumination is what gives you authority over the forces of darkness. The way the realm is designed is such that the moment light shows up, darkness has the intelligence to excuse itself. You don't need to tell darkness to go. The moment light shows up, darkness knows what to do. So if you want to deal with darkness, be illuminated. Your illumination is a power above darkness. The reason many persons are not enjoying the triumphant life is because they are not illuminated. He said, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. In case you take it for granted, he said, darkness shall cover the earth. So those who are shining are the only ones who will triumph, the presence of darkness notwithstanding. So arise, shine, your light is come. The first power over darkness is the power of illumination. The second force that rules over darkness is the force of faith. Faith. And I'm telling you how this system is designed. You will see all the fathers of old that dominated this realm. The Bible said they lived by faith. They lived by faith. And he counseled us, he said, all of us who are justified, there is one way to live. He said, we must live by faith. He said that in view of the fact that we will have contentions. But when we operate by faith, everything that is designed to pull us down will become a platform for our manifestation. That means your platform in life is not a pulpit. It's not a stage. They are the circumstances that destroy. And when you come there, there is something about you that causes you to ride above it. When you give testimony, imagine somebody comes and gives testimony and said, I woke up this morning, I ate food, and I'm happy. Thank God you woke up. But even the man who don't know Jesus woke up. But when you said, I woke up this morning, and something hit somebody, he died, and I said, wake up. Nobody will tell the whole church. We will all shout and jump. It means you are ruling over death. If you say, ah, light, fire came and wanted to do something, I spoke. Those are the things we want to hear. We don't want something that can be explained away. Now, it's good to thank God for everything, like Reverend said, but it's also good to show and prove that God is still real and God has an impact in existential realities. That the God we serve is not just an idea we hold supreme. It's actually a reality that can affect our present life. And when things are going wrong, we have the power to change them. The force to make that happen is the force of faith. And so anybody who wants to live triumphantly must live by faith. See, triumphant living is not a gift. It's a protocol that is walked. And if you want to do it, you must walk it. So that you can repeat it any day, anytime, and anywhere. It's not a fluke. Christianity is not just an ideology. Christianity is a reality. Divinity expressed through humanity. And we can prove the tangibility of the God that we serve. But for that to happen, we must become creatures of faith. The third force that engenders triumphant living is a life of intimacy with God. Any Christian who wants to be triumphant must have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Christianity of coming to church and dressing well, walking piously, cannot affect a dark world. There are terrorists out there. There is cancer there. There are demons there. They don't respect how you look. It's good to look pious. It's good to walk like a spiritual man. But sir, you must be able to draw power when what matters begins to play out. And for you to do that, you must have a rich walk of intimacy with the Holy Ghost. You can wear suit and die. You can have all the Christian cliche and do all the rituals and die. And people who don't have understanding will come and say, God, why? Most times, why is not for God, it's for us. Because we are not walking in the corridors of intimacy where we were designed to walk.
We were not designed to function on our own. The moment we begin to walk apart from God, the name is called rebellion. And everyone who is rebellious, the Bible said he will dwell in desolate wilderness. He will dwell in the congregation of the dead. And so if we want Christians to live triumphantly, it's not a gathering where we just excite them. We must teach them the price to pay to journey the paths of intimacy. Every one of us must know God rich enough until his voice becomes clear. You know what he was sharing? When Reverend Williams was talking, he wanted to take a step. He heard skip. Now, God loves him. But if he doesn't skip, there will be consequence. And there was consequence. And now he said, Lord, speak, thy servant. The ears are open. Because what happens to you is not because God does not love you. What happens to you is because there is a challenge with your intimacy. The moment your intimacy is corrected, you discover that you begin to function like the wind. He says, as the wind bloweth, thou listest not from whence it cometh or where it goeth. He says, so are they that are born by the Spirit of God. There are many persons who lost all their monies today. All they needed was a whisper. But they could not go to where the voice dwells. And they journeyed out, entered that business, functioning by their brain. But it's already written. It's not given to man that walketh to order his steps. We were designed to be led. He said, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all reality. And so your life on earth is a product of obedience, following the dictates of the Holy Spirit. If you want to be invincible and triumphant, you must hear God daily. You must stay where God is. And if you stay there, he said, the Lord will become your shield and your buckler. He said, 1,000 shall fall by your side, 10,000 shall fall by your right hand. It shall not come near you. He said, only with your eyes shall you see and behold the recompense of the wicked. Why? Because you have made God, even the Most High, your habitation. When God becomes your dwelling place, your security is guaranteed. And your victory in life is a must. It will almost be predictable. The reason many people are not living victoriously is because their altars have become ashes. But there's a commandment. He said the fire on the altar must not be put out. Leviticus chapter 6 verse 12. He said you must put wood on it every morning. So our journey with God is a daily journey. It's not I met God last week. God spoke to me 1 month ago. It's every day. I sleep with God, I wake with God, and I walk through life with God because I don't know the moment of visitation. And I also don't know the moment where hell will break loose. But come what may, if I'm walking with God, my security is guaranteed. The third force of triumphant living is the force of intimacy. Number four, the fourth force for triumphant living is the force of principles. You can't live your life spontaneously and hope to succeed and hope to make impact. Anywhere there is impact, there is order, there is structure, there is regiment, there is routine, there is order. The moment principles are violated, there will be problem. That's why he was sharing with us a moment ago, and he picked one of the principles, the principle of tithing, also included in the principle of giving. You don't expect abundance doing nothing. There is a principle that regulates how the system works. And a man who wants to be triumphant must find out the principles that regulate the realm and align himself with the dictates of those principles. This is how we walk triumphantly. And finally, if you want to function triumphantly, you must master the force of service. This realm responds to values. And you must have enough value to render if you will be victorious. Thank God for the love God's servant has for me, but I tell you, I'm not here because he loves me. He can invite me to his house, give me a treat. He can call me, advise me, and encourage me. He can give me some gifts like he has been doing, and I enjoy them. But to talk here, you must have value. This one is not sentiment. If you don't have value, you go nowhere. If you don't have value, you cannot affect your world. Most of you here own companies. They are friends and family members you love. You don't make a board of directors. A member of the board of directors is somebody you love. You don't make your manager. You don't just call somebody from your family and say, I love my brother. Become manager. That place is not love that works it. It's value. And so, if you don't have value to render service, you will not be triumphant. Because there is a move today where people lazy around. They just wake up in the morning, God will do it. You go to school, you fail biology, you fail psychology, you fail physics, you fail philosophy. You come, you say, we will change this world. We are the light of the world. We will take the world by storm. How? When they talk, you say, don't worry. Although the cloud may not be filled. He said, the ditch will be filled with water. You will be shocked too. It's at the age of 95. You will discover that there are laws that rule the realm. Very irresponsible Christianity. They wake up, they do nothing from morning to night. When you see them, they now close their eyes. They are in the spirit. Before you say Jack, they said, 2 days ago, a cherubim came to my room. There are many poor people and irrelevant people that cherubims are talking to. You must pay the price to get values. And you must be wise enough to apply it. Because the law of service is a key to relevance. It's a key to triumphant living. Ask yourself, what do I have to offer my generation? Did you not read about Daniel? The Bible said him and his friends were 10 times, Daniel 1:20, 10 times better than their peers. 10 times better in every question that the king asked them. So when you go to the bank, pray in tongues, be full of the Holy Ghost, but know the job. If you are a lecturer, know the course. If you don't know it, you cannot be triumphant. Laziness will not take anybody anywhere. You give a Christian a simple task. Gather these names here, call them, he can't do it. And the next thing he's telling you about the third heaven. You will go there, come back, and suffer on earth. Elohim Adonai. So these are five forces for triumphant living. Now that I have highlighted them, let's pick one and two and see how far God will help us. You know, tonight is a quiet night. I need to go and improve my comportment. When God's servant was speaking with coordination, I say, God, help me. Some of us, we are preaching like this. So permit me to put myself in order. Hallelujah. So illumination. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17 to verse 18. Paul was speaking. And he was praying for the church in Ephesus. And this was Paul's prayer. He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling. And he began to show you things that will make you live triumphantly. Number one, say what is what? The hope of your calling. Number two, he said, what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints in light? And number three, he said, and the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. And he gave you that exact power, he said, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. So the dimension of power Paul was speaking about is the resurrection power. There are two broad dimensions of God's power. There's the creative dimension and there's the resurrection dimension. The creative dimension power is the power that gives life. It's the power that creates. But what is created can be destroyed. What is born can be killed. But you see, the resurrection power is a power that lives above destruction. It's a power that lives above death. So this dimension of power Paul is speaking about here is the highest dimension of power there is in God. However, he said the operation of this power is subject to illumination. Number one, that God may grant you wisdom. The word is Sophia. The ability to analyze truth. the ability to cognitively interact with facts and make meaning out of them. And then number two, he spoke about revelation, is the apocalypsis, is the ability to open you up into realms, is the unveiling. So God brings you into realms of possibilities. And then number three, he spoke about enlightenment. The word is fortizo. It means light is shed upon. And then he said you come into epignosis, experience. So all of these are dimensions of illumination that makes you enjoy the hope of your calling, the riches available to the saints, and the resurrection power. That means every one of us seated here is supposed to walk in the fullness of the hope of our callings. We are supposed to walk in the riches of the inheritance of the saints in light, and we are supposed to function in the resurrection power that brought Jesus back from the dead. But it's at the mercy of our illumination. If you don't have wisdom, revelation, enlightenment, and knowledge, he said you can't walk in them. And so triumphant living is available to us all. The question is, what is the degree of your illumination? And the key to illumination is the proceeding word of God. When the word of God begins to come to a man, light begins to come to that man. The Bible, speaking in John chapter 1 from verse 1 to verse 4, talking about the Logos, the excellency of the Logos. It said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It said, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And it said, in Him was life, and the life was the light. So, when the Word comes into you, it produces light to you. And so anybody who wants to function triumphantly must build a technology and a receptacle for receiving the proceeding word. Find anybody who is dominating this realm. He will always tell you, God told me. I found one major key for impact in life. God told me. If you can receive the proceeding word, there's no way your life will not be impactful. That's why Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. A Christian who wants to live triumphantly must do business with the word until the word begins to come to him. If the word is not yet coming to you, everything you see is a mirage. The Bible said this realm was created by the word. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. So anything that does not come to you by the word is a mirage. Over time, it will vanish. But if it is the word that revealed it, if it's the word that gave it, if it's the word that produced it, even if the whole hell is unleashed, you will still stand and nothing can take it away from you. Because the word is what sustains this realm. This is why triumphant living is a function of our interaction with the proceeding word of God. And I can tell you, many Christians don't receive the word of God. You know why? Receiving the word of God is a ministry. And if you want to get to that point where you receive the word of God, you must submit yourself to the ministry of the word. In Acts chapter 6 verse 4, the apostles were speaking. And they said, we will not give ourselves to tables. He said, we will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. They had a word to conquer. So they knew human favor is good, it's not enough. They knew every other forces that men subscribe to is good, but it's not enough. The word must come to us. And so one thing we must commit ourselves to is prayer and the ministry of the word. So every day, the word must keep coming. So long as the word is coming, triumphant living is a must. Nothing can stop it. So a Christian who wants to make impact in life must understand the ministry of the word. And there are three things about the ministry of the word. Number one is engagement. Number two is receiving. And number three is administration. You must know how to engage the word. You must know how to receive the word. And you must know how to administer the word. If you can meet this triangle, you will discover that it will be natural for you to be triumphant. And there are four basic ways of engaging the word. Number one is by reading. Number two is by studying. Number three is by meditation. And number four is by obedience. These are the four basic biblical ways of engaging the world. In 1 Timothy 4:13, Paul speaking, he said, until I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. He said, give thyself wholly to these things, that thy profiting may be made manifest to all. He didn't say so that you might prosper. You must prosper if you do it. But if you give yourself to it, he said, your profiting may be what? Made manifest to all. So the first thing Paul highlighted is what? Reading. Give attendance to reading. If you want the word to begin to come to you, you must first of all make a practice of reading the word. In the days of the fathers, they sat down to read. I was studying the books of Kenneth E. Hagin. And he said how he will sit down reading different versions. They don't even have the privilege we have now, where you can just carry your phone and you type different versions at the same time they are coming up. They will gather 7 Bibles and they are reading. His son said he will go to school. He will be reading. He's returning. He's still there reading. And he's reading till night. And they stayed there. After a while, you now discovered you read Logos. But eventually, the manifestation your life commands does not look like Logos. You show up in a place, the dead comes back to life. You are talking, people's lives are changing. Suddenly, your fame spread abroad. And they are wondering what is going on. When the word saturates you, it will flow out. And when the word begins to flow out, creation is commanded. Because it's the flow of the word that creates. So opportunities can be created. Favor can be created. Outcomes, any outcome at all that is encapsulated in the word can begin to find expression. But the problem is that many are not reading. This is a distracted generation. You carry your phone, you sit there 7 hours, you have watched only pictures that has no impact on your destiny. And then you are hoping that you will triumph in a world of demons. The Bible called the devil the god of this world. When you see a Christian making impact, it means he held the devil to a standstill. The devil hates it, but there's nothing he can do about it. By the power of the Holy Ghost, he enforces dominion. That's how we rule here. This world is full of cruelty and darkness. Is this a world to sit down watching movies for 4 days in 1 week and you hope to make impact? Because you think it's a function of luck and chance? When demons show up, you will discover that the things you know passively cannot address their realm. Give attendance to reading. Number two, it said give attendance to exhortation and doctrine. That's the compilation of studying. When you are studying, you take time to read in depth, to find out context. And then you also listen to those who know it better and hear their perspective. When you follow exhortation and doctrine, then you have a robust study. And that's the second way to engage the world. When you engage the world in studying, you will discover you begin to have authority. Reading will give you perception, but studying will give you understanding. And in understanding, there's authority. And then you don't stop there. You now go into meditation. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, he said, this book of the law shall not depart no longer out of thy eyes. It's now out of thy mouth. So what you have seen, what you have heard, what you have studied, now talk it. Now eat it. It is in meditation that the word is made flesh. So when a Christian wants to be triumphant, he makes a practice of talking the word. And not talking it when he has to preach to others. Talking it to himself. See the problem with us. When we come to face a congregation, we become eloquent preachers. But when we wake up at home, we don't talk the word to ourselves. When we go to the place of prayer, we don't talk the word to ourselves. And because we don't eat the word does not become flesh in us. Meanwhile, the glory in the word is manifested when the word is made flesh. It said, and the word became flesh, and we beheld his glory. So if you want the glory of the word to manifest, the word must become flesh. And the way the word becomes flesh is by talking it to yourself. When you are talking the word to yourself, you are eating it. And if you eat it, after a while, the aroma will flow out of you. This is the practice of triumphant living. Sit with that word. Read it. Meditate on it. Through it for a long time. After a while, you will discover that even your molecular structure begins to change. Because as the word enters you, it will inundate you first. It will transform you first. Then it will begin to invigorate you so that you can change your world. Eat it. That's what meditation is about. And when you do that, after a while, then the word now begins to talk to you. That's where obedience is required. Because as you are engaging the word, a point will come. The word will now begin to engage you. So you wake up and God speaks to you. Go and give that man 2 million. You say, Lord, is that a demon? I just made 2.1 million. You didn't ask me to give the one on top. Is it the two I should give? I thought you said love your neighbor as yourself. I didn't read love your neighbor more than yourself. How can I do this? And God will keep quiet. If you don't obey, you won't move. And God's servant has dealt with obedience extensively, so I'm not going there. But the other side of obedience is the blessing. That's why in Joshua 1:8, it said, when you comply to doing what is written therein, it said, then, it didn't say God will make your way prosperous. It said, you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. That's where triumphant life comes in. And so you must master the art of obeying the word. So if you engage the word engages you. And if the word begins to engage you, then you begin to obey the word. This is the first dimension of the ministry of the word. Now, as the word begins to come to you and you begin to see the manifestations that follow, then what you do now is that you sharpen your receptacle to receive more. That's where the art of receiving the word comes in. And it takes a lot of spiritual intelligence to keep receiving the word of God. Some has to do with virtue, some has to do with prayer, but it will take some spiritual engagement to continually receive the word. For example, look at James chapter 1 verse 21 and see what the Bible said. One of the ways of receiving the word. Now that you obeyed the word, you saw an outcome. You now begin to position yourself to keep receiving. He said, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word. So now you are obeying the word. After a while, there's a demand for meekness. So there are dimensions of the word that will not come to you until you sustain a posture of humility. Because when you become high-minded, the word will stop coming. You now discover that reading, meditation takes you to a level. But now God wants your character to become the receptacle through which the word will be caught. And so you discover that you will migrate from the physical engagement, it will become a transformational thing. And so when people offend you, or when people try to undermine you, instead of responding in the flesh, you now know that when you activate flesh, flesh will dwarf your senses. So because of the word, you would have shown them that you are a big man. I have 7 cars. I just decided to throw here. Now that you want to show up, I would have brought 1 car that is worth $2 million. You want to act, you now remember, it's the receptacle of meekness that received the word. So you say it's well. You will celebrate them, let them go. Because you can't but depend on the word that comes to you. Now, meekness has become an antenna. And you will need that antenna to be working for you to make progress. Are you seeing the way God works? So as God is making you triumphant, God is also transforming you at the same time. So after a while, your blessings will now look like you. And when they see you, they will not just see what God has done for you. They will now see the God that is in you. Because eventually, you would have become like your God. And all of that is tied to receiving, receiving, receiving. When people are living triumphantly, they are masters when it has to do with the word. Their realm is illuminated. You can't walk in darkness and prosper. Job 29 verse 4, he said, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secrets of God was upon my tabernacle, he said, by light I walk through darkness. So when you see men prosper, regardless of circumstances, there are words coming to them. There are words. Before this government came into power, some persons already received word. Because they don't receive their own news from NTA. They don't receive their own news from AIT. They receive their own news from heaven. And God would have forewarned them 2 years before now. Better start doing this because something is about to change. And when things begin to happen, they now say, oh, Lord, this is why you said this. Now we know. But there are some people that will always be taken unawares because they don't hear from heaven. This is why, although drums of oil has been poured on them, but life has not gone anywhere. And so please, let's not, the olive oil too should be managed.
Let's manage the olive oil. Glory to God. But these are sure ways of living triumphantly. Engage the word. Ask yourself, how frequent do you hear God? If you don't hear God frequently, you are taking a lot of risk. Because it's a danger to be stranded and God is not speaking in the face of the circumstances of life. But when you hear God, you become a master of circumstances. The ministry of the word. There must be illumination. He said, thy word is a light unto my path and is a lamp unto my feet. I keep hearing, and as I keep receiving it, I keep seeing. I know where to go. I know what step to take. And my life is an unending success. And so when you find a man who is functioning by the word, you will think, oh, this thing God has done, what else is remaining? He is the definition of God's blessings. So there will always be else. Because it's from glory to glory. His path becomes like the path of the just man. That shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. From one level of glory to another level of glory. But the secret is the illumination that he keeps receiving. You look at the life of Isaac. He wanted to become smart. And when people were moving to Egypt, he followed them. The jackpot generation. And God told him, stay still in Gerar. This is the land where your blessing is. Imagine if you went to Egypt. But in that land, the Bible said, the man waxed strong and became great and exceeding great until the Philistines envied him. So one man can be so big that the whole nation envies him. He was bigger than the nation. But only one instruction made it happen. Stay still in Gerar. It didn't sound spiritual. It didn't sound lofty. Stay still in Gerar. This land, you will be blessed. That's all. Eventually, he became bigger than the whole nation. If you are missing proceeding words, there will be a problem. Because it doesn't matter where the word meets you. Wherever the word finds you, it will take you to where you ought to be. The Bible said concerning Joseph, Psalm 105 verse 17, he was in prison, he said, until the time that his word came. So it's when your word comes that your triumphant life begins. He said he was bound in fetters. He was put in chains. The chain is not your problem. The problem is the barrenness in hearing the word. If the word comes, you will see how helpless the chains are. If the word comes, you will see how helpless the fetters are. He said until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. And he said the king sent for to lose him. How did the king come into the scene? The word has come. And instantly, a man leaves prison and becomes a teacher of senators. A man leaves prison and becomes the keeper of the king's house. And you are wondering, what structure is that? You can't explain it. The word is the structure. You say, I thought you are supposed to go to the school of the Egyptian scholars for 7 years. I thought you are supposed to go to school of leadership for 14 years. When I was hearing the word, I was schooling. And the moment the word came, all my classes were completed. And so you can move from prison to palace depending on what you have heard. I'm telling you, people are running helter-skelter, crying, talking about chains. The chain is not the problem. The fetters is not the problem. The problem is that you are not hearing. News is coming from heaven. The moment you start catching yours, you will discover that your progression becomes constant. You catch it. You catch it. The word is catalambano. You catch it because frequencies are passing. As we are sitting in this room, frequencies are passing. Television rays are passing here. Waves of radio. The reason you are not hearing them is because this one is not designed to hear radio wave. But when you have an antenna, you will discover that there is so much. They are talking all over now. The space is choked. And so if you want to go forward, you must awaken your antenna. And the way to awaken your antenna is to engage the world. Engage the world. Engage the world until the world begins to come to you. You are sleeping. A word comes. You wake up. You write it. You sleep. And you will discover that you can be sleeping and prospering. Because anytime the word comes, prosperity is attached. Why somebody else has toiled? He said, we have toiled all night. It's not about toiling, sir. The realm is regulated in a particular way. I know you have toiled all night. I know you are trained fishermen. You have experience. This is your river. But I am the word of life. Cast. Move. Cast into the deep. Say, okay.
We know this business, so we have done this since we were children. But according to thy word, follow the word and see the difference. And when they launch to the deep, their eyes, I'm wondering what they look like in the face. Is this not the ocean current that we mastered for 20 years? The word has come. I created the ocean. I created the fish. When I speak, everything aligns. So it's not about the toiling. It's about the word. It's about the word. You want to be triumphant? Pay the price to hear the word. Pay the price. Pay the price. When you hear, you will be triumphant. That's the key. And one thing this conference will do for you is to open your ears. Amen. If your ears are open from this conference, you will be shocked what will happen to you in 3 months. You will be so shocked. Some of you will not be able to believe it. But it will be too real to deny. If your ears are opened, you will be shocked. Until his word came. He said the word of the Lord tried him. Illumination. I wish I had time to show you 5 levels of illumination. As you start doing business with the word, the first thing that will happen to you is that your mentality will be upgraded. That's the first dimension of illumination. Because some of us, Satan may not directly be involved. The problem is the village where we came from. Say thank you. You say no. Men, don't say thank you. Sir, you will die there. Just say thank you, sir. I'm grateful. You say no. If I say thank you, they are trying to intimidate me? You are the one who thinks nobody has your time. Everybody is facing his destiny and pursuing his life. It's your smallness that is making you think the whole world is looking at you. Who is intimidating who? Say thank you. Be grateful. Go away. Say no way. Man, how can a man like me, man like you, and you have not eaten since yesterday? So when the word comes, the first illumination is to upgrade your mentality. The word is gnosis. Gnosis. It begins to help you to think at a higher frequency. At a godly frequency. So you see, you think better. That's why in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5, it says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. That's gnosis. It's as you are interacting with the knowledge of the law of the world that your mind starts being upgraded. So you analyze better, you think better, you reason better. You become more productive. Some persons are not going anywhere because fear have crippled them. Fear. The fear of the unknown. They say, I don't know. The first person who started in our family, he died at 35. The second person died at 34. Now me, I'm 33. So I don't know if I should start something. Relax. I know you came from that family. But you also came from Christ. For whoever is in Christ Jesus is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So I'm not thinking what's happening to my bloodline. I'm thinking what's happening to those in my class. And I don't only have blood family. I also have kingdom family. And the last time I checked, Moses made impact. Paul the apostle made impact. Barnabas made impact. Peter made impact. And they said, no one of them were killed. They laid down their lives. Because in the family where I come from, you can't kill us. This commandment we have received from the Father. We have the power to lay down our lives and to take it up again. You can't kill me. That's a better way to think. He said, but everybody is poor, not me. He said, Christ, rich as he was, he became poor so that you through his poverty might be made rich. I'm rich in Christ. He said, bad luck. We don't function by luck. No, we make things happen. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. If they tread upon scorpions and serpents, they cannot be hurt. We are invincible. What is bad luck? And they all, we don't know. Something might happen. Things don't happen to us. We make things happen. We make things happen. It's as the wind bloweth. Thou liftest not from whence it cometh or where it goeth. So are they that are born by the Spirit of God. My mentality is changed. He said, I don't know. Nobody from our village has attained this height before. Who is talking about your village? He said, not many days from now you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. If it is not yet global, it has not started. If I'm selling pure water, it will be global. If I'm selling clothes, it will be global. If I'm sewing dresses, it will be global. If I'm doing ministry, it will be global. Because it's to the uttermost part of the earth. Makarade aragata. Mando brakira baraka. Veredagatara stavak. Sir, if not for the world, if not for the world, how can an Utukwa boy think like that? But when I check the world, I know it's got to be global. Because when he commissioned them, he said to the uttermost part of the world. I know it's got to be global. And today, you walk into a palace and you shake kings. And you are not intimidated. Why? Because he said, Gentiles shall come to thy light. He said, kings shall come to the brightness of thy rising. So I expect kings to come. I'm not surprised when they come. It's a natural thing that should happen. Gentiles will come to your light. Kings will come to the brightness of your rising. So when the kings start coming, you'll say, wow, then the light is becoming brighter. I will make it even much more brighter. That's the word. That's the word. Listen, don't let anything you are doing be limited to Abuja. Instead, it's to the uttermost part of the world. Think the globe. You know what Isaiah 60:15 said? He said, you were a desolate land. He said, no man walked through you. He said, but I have made you an eternal excellency, the joy of many generations. Somebody looked at me and said, wow, these are the men for the season. I say, sir, we are not the men for the season. Our legacy will outlive us. We will live for many generations. The impact is for many generations. Don't make the mistake of thinking we are about to rise and fall. We don't shine and go off. He said the path of the just man is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. I know my tomorrow will be greater than my today. Look at me very well. This is the least of me you will see. Check me out tomorrow. I'll be better. 1,000 times better. 1,000,000 times better. Because the path of the just man is that the shining light. It shines brighter and brighter. Barakaya. Mentality. You preach a message, they say this message is great. Tell them, it's those coming in the next 50 years that will appreciate the message. Because the older, the fresher. They say, this is your company. See, there's a mentality you must have. Check the nations that received the gospel 100 years ago. They open an eatery. The eatery has been there for 150 years. Why do you think we start things here? It ends after 15 years, 20 years. Because the mind has not been doctored. We think failure. We think it too much. So it impacts on what we do. But when you leave the world, walk on you thoroughly. This is why you can't even have the time to compete. You are too sure of what God has given you. You are too sure. Anything you touch will prosper. There's no room for competition. You are doing well. Thank God for you. I celebrate you. But I'm facing my own track. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor is seated in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is on the law of the Lord. On this law doth he meditate day and night. He is like the tree planted by the rivers of living waters. He produces his fruit in his season. Nothing about me fails. It's a mentality. It came from the world. Nobody would have taught me that except from the world. Except from the world. And as you are walking in it, it's just walking, it's just walking. And you are just living a glorious life, triumphing from one level to another. I prophesy over someone. It's from glory to glory. Sit down for a moment. My God. Put your fears behind you. Those fears came from the wrong information that you were given and you have meditated on for a long time. Meditate on the word and see the glory that comes out of you. And that's just the first level, mental upgrade. And there are four other levels. There is the level of idol. In idol, the knowledge is not just mental upgrade. You become aware. So there is a dimension that the word brings to you. You just start becoming aware. Because what is loaded into you, if you know it, you will leave this realm. What do you think is rapture? Rapture is transfiguration. You are upgraded to your zenith. This earth can't keep you. You will vaporize. You don't just have light. You are light. The more you know, the more you become like him. And if you allow it, a point will come. This material body will be dematerialized. Paul said we groan earnestly that we may be clothed with our tabernacle that is of heaven. So Paul knew that there is a level we will get to wear it. And we will go. That's what you carry. So when the Holy Ghost is upgrading you by the word, a time comes when you start becoming aware. You just become aware that your hand is curative. If you lay hands on the sick, they recover. If you lay hands on a business, it will prosper. You just become aware. It was there all the while, but you become aware. Because now the word is doing something on your inside. It's called idol. 2 Corinthians 5:17, he said, whoever is in Christ Jesus is a new creature. He said, all things are passed away. Behold, that's the key word. Become aware that all things have become new. It's a level of illumination. When the word starts coming to you, you discover that your life starts upgrading as you start becoming aware. And the more frequent you become aware, the faster your upgrade will be. I was listening to Oral Roberts. He said he prayed for the sick, things were not working. And he had four encounters. And after those four encounters, he sat down one day in his parlor and he just became aware that he was anointed. And he also became aware that the power of God was in his hand. If he senses that power, whatever they call your ailment, come. When he's done preaching, he will sit down. I don't need atmosphere. My hand is the atmosphere. If it lays it on you, you must be healed. But all of that was tied to become aware. In 1 John 5:11-13, he said that God has given us eternal life. He said the life is in the Son. He said whoever has the Son has life. He said these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God that you may know. The word know is idol. Become aware. Somebody sitting here, you just become aware that you are a millionaire. And you will be shocked how your business will shift. I'm telling you, you just become aware that you are a global coach. And the ministry will shift. You just become aware that you are a global apostle. And the ministry will shift. All of that is what the world does. You have too much in you. The problem is awareness level is low. Have you carried a comb before and you are looking for it? The comb is in your hand. You are looking for it. You are angry with everybody. But the comb is here. Then suddenly you become aware. Somebody will become aware. And you don't have to be 50 to become aware. You don't have to be 80 to become aware. You can become aware in the university. You can become aware at 21 and start shaking your world at 21. And you can become aware even at 90. And they say, you are about going to heaven. You say, we go nowhere. There is so much to do and we must finish before we go. We must finish. This vessel must be emptied before we leave this realm. I must finish my course. And if I have not finished, I can't die. And because of that awareness, death can stay somewhere. Death, even death goes back. Did you not read about Simeon? The guy could not die because he became aware that he was a custodian in his generation. The moment he carried Jesus, he said, now my eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. I can go in peace. That means death came and went back because he became aware. You are 80 years old. Who told you you will die?
when you are aware that there is a nation that has not yet been blessed, death will have to wait until that assignment is fulfilled. When God wants to upgrade you and make you triumphant, the word makes you become aware. And somebody will become aware of the next level. Triumphant living. Triumphant. Triumphant. Don't allow the devil deceive you and choke you with anxiety. Oh, my music ministry is finished. It doesn't finish. Nothing about us finishes. The God who created us does not finish. And it's not only heaven, it's in us. He said, this is the mystery of the age. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So our life is from glory to glory. We don't finish. Nothing finishes. In fact, when our assignment is over, we carry the residue as an inheritance. Hand it over to the next generation. Finish? What does finish mean? Not in my own life. Sit down. God bless you. It's a body. See, well, these things are my contemplations. They are my contemplations. And it's my body, it's my prayer that the next generation will catch it earlier. I want to see boys of 15 years pack out stadia. You come to a stadium, they say there's a revival meeting. And you say, who is the preacher? Then you see a 15-year-old boy walk out and say, the Holy Ghost sent me. That you will know that this is God. They have enough intelligence to work the administration. They have enough power to raise the dead. And they are direct, because out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, he said, thou hast ordained strength. And until we come to this level, there will be no much impact in Africa. Become aware. And there is epignosis, there is ginosko, and there is dokimazo. But I don't have time. Levels of illumination. You move from gnosis to idol to epignosis to ginosko and to dokimazo. At the level of epignosis, you experience. You are not just having punctuations. No, you live in that realm. I can become aware that God wants to heal in the service and I come with audacity. But I can be walking in the realm of healing and I know. I have the tangibility of it. That's epignosis. So I can decide that tomorrow is healing service because I have it tangibly. And that's a realm the world can bring you to. That's why in 2 Peter 1 verse 3 and 4, the Bible said, according as his divine power hath given us. It didn't say he will give us. He has already given us all things that pertains to life and godliness through the epignosis of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So the experience causes you to live perpetually in the glory realm. You have it in its tangibility. It's your daily experience. That's where the fathers of faith got to. And they became custodians. So a man wants to go to heaven. He knows the day he's going. As if that's not enough, he says, go and get me a savory venison. I want to eat so that my soul can bless you. He knows he has the blessing. I have it. I'm not hoping it will happen. Give me something to eat. And the moment he ate, he started talking. And he said some things that defy the law of economics. He said, my son, the smell of my son is like a field that the Lord has blessed. He said, I bless you with the dew of heaven. Where is the dew of heaven? When did you become a possessor of heaven? He knows he has it. He knows. And that one also matures. And he said, gather around me, you sons of Jacob. I will tell you what will befall you. I'm not blessing you. I'm shaping your future. I have enough authority to do that. He said, Reuben, you are the beginning of my strength. But as unstable as water, you will not prosper. That means you are supposed to be full of excellence. But I change it. And then another person comes many years later in the name of Moses. He said, let Reuben live and not die. People are changing destinies of generations by talking. One say Reuben will not prosper. Another one say Reuben prosper. Because where he went to and spoke, I too have gone there. So I can determine the outcome in my own generation. Experience. Hand do something. Possess something. The scepter will not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes. Neither the lawgiver from in between his feet. How can you talk like this? Are you not aware that Jesus too is coming? So he determined the lineage that Jesus will come from. Because of epignosis. And this is what God wants every Christian to have. See, all of us must be known after a dimension. Let them know that you have wisdom. You have power. You have utterance. So anytime the body of Christ is looking for a dimension, they go to you straight and it's available. A nation was dying in economic turmoil, drought, nothing was anywhere. The king was hopeless. Women were eating their children. And when they knew there's no law of economics that work, they said, go and fetch Elijah. How did they know he can do something? And they came. The guy didn't raise an eyebrow. He said, go and tell the king by this time tomorrow, a cup of barley will be sold for one shekel. What does he know? Do you know what it means to change the economy of a nation? He knows something. When you enter epignosis, your life becomes an excellent flow of an eternal river. And this is what the world can make out of every one of us. You don't have to be a prophet. You just have to be born of the world and allow the world live out its protocol through you. They can tell you your business will fail. Tell them, no, it can't. I heard something. I know something. I know something. And what I know, based on what I know this business can't fail. I was told it can't. You know it. That's the Christian life. Let me push forward a bit and touch one more point because of time. The first spiritual force for triumphant living is illumination. See, refuse to live in darkness. Be illuminated. And the key is the word. Engage the word until the word becomes a light to you. Engage it. Christianity, it's not a religion. It's divinity expressed through humanity. God lived out through a mortal vessel. God lived out through a mortal vessel. And there are protocols that govern it. The second is faith. When I study the excellency of faith, sir, it humbles me. I was teaching them in church 2 days ago, and I showed them how that the summary of the Old Testament is the work of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, they literally began to point out every patriarch that shook their generation. And you hear, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. You will study that scripture, you assume you are a patriarch because you came first. He has no regard for who came first. So Adam was not there. He said, by faith, Abel. Where is Adam? The very first man is not there. Where is Adam? By faith, Abel offered up a more excellent sacrifice. They knew something. That to rule this realm, you must tap into the frequency of faith. And a point came in verse 32 and 33 when the whole Old Testament manifestation was summarized. It was also summarized on the basis of faith. It said, time will fail me to speak of Gideon, of Barak, of Jephthah, of Samuel, of David, and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms. This is the summary of the manifestation of the Old Testament. Obtained righteousness. Shut the mouth of lion, quench the violence of fire. Weak men were made valiant in fight, and they put to flight the armies of the alien. Every manifestation in the Old Testament, it was tied to faith. So there's something about faith that we must know if we must triumph. And if you start studying faith, you will discover that the excellency of faith insists that you must walk in faith. In fact, there are 6 major things about faith that makes faith a must. Number one, in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That means prayer is useless without faith. Giving is useless without faith. Fellowship is useless without faith. Because if faith is not included, God cannot be pleased. And if God is not pleased, the whole exercise is a waste. Because all things were created for His pleasure. So anything we do here, what gives it relevance is that it pleases God. And the only basis by which our actions can please God is because it is done in faith. So before you do anything, make sure you have faith. That's why the moment we got born again, We were saved by faith, and a measure of faith was dealt to us, so that everyone must operate by faith. Number two, this realm, Hebrews 11:3, he said it was framed by the principle of faith. Through faith, we understand that the walls were created. That means this realm operates by faith. So if you don't live by faith, you'll be defeated in this realm. And as you study this faith subject, I know, sir, let me try some things. I know you are a faith giant. Anybody who went to a robot? So if anything is wrong here, correct me at the back. I want to learn. There are two broad dimensions. The first broad dimension of faith is the Abrahamic dimension. And the second dimension is the faith of the Son of God. These are the two modalities for the workings of faith. The Abrahamic dimension necessitates that you trust in God and God does the work. That's how the patriarchs of old lived. So they look up to God and God does the work. It was Abraham that found it. In Romans 4 from verse 1, he said, what did Abraham our father according to the flesh found? And as he read down, he said, he believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. And we saw where that happened. In Genesis 15 verse 5 and 6, he brought him out and told him, look at the stars. If you can count them, that's how your descendants will be. And he said, Abraham believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. So when Abraham needed a child, the Bible said he didn't consider his body now dead. Neither did he consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. He said, but he was strong in faith. What did he do? He didn't confront his problem. He faced God. So the Abrahamic order is call on God, God answers. And that is beautiful. But when Jesus came, he now upgraded it. You are not designed to always call on God. You can fellowship with God. He said, but when you have a problem, talk to the problem. Don't talk to God. Abraham mentored the generation to talk to God about the problem. Now God wants you to face the problem. So he said, if you confront a mountain, leave God out of the matter. He said, you say to this mountain, why? Something has happened. In the days of Abraham, God is in heaven. And heaven alone. Now, God is not only in heaven, God is in you. So in the God, in the faith of the Son of God, you will release God from your spirit. And so you see that it's a growth in spiritual dominion. Because your son, for example, if your son wants to eat, you will give him food when he's 5. If he wee-wees, you clean him up. If he's going to school, you will give him money. You will drop him off. But when he becomes 30, if he wants to eat, you say, go and buy it. And if there's food, go and cook. And if he wee-wees where he shouldn't, it's either he ends in the psychiatric or he ends in the guard room. But one way or the other, he must end somewhere. Because now you expect him to be able to use what he has received from you. So, in the equation of triumphant living, we grow in faith. Now, look at the way Jesus walked this matter. Jesus shows up in a wedding and they say, the wine is finished. Because the life of Jesus is a way of mentoring us who are born again. Because he needs us to walk like him. And he shows up in the wedding and the mother comes to him and said, the wine is finished. He said, woman, it's not yet my time. And the mother turns to the people and says, whatever he tells you to do, do. And Jesus looks at them. You think Jesus will go and start praying. He said, fill the empty jars. They filled it. He said, draw from it. You think he'll say, taste it. Would you take precaution? You think you say, okay, for modesty's sake, give me, let me taste first. He now says, take it to the governor of the feast. You look at him and say, Gov what? What if it's not wine? This container is where they wash leg and hand. This water, number one, is not hygienic. And you want me to take to him? What if he drinks and I go to jail? I can imagine what the servants were doing. But the woman that spoke to them is a respected woman. Whatever he tells you to do, do. And they carry it and give the governor and they are shaking. And the governor now drinks and says, Why did they keep the best wine for the last? Only God knows the face of that servant. The face would have dropped. What happened here? He knew that God, he said, it pleased the Father that the fullness of the Godhead should dwell in him body. The fullness. So he knew. It's what you call it that it is. That's how the faith of the Son of God works. Whatever you call it, that is what it is. And so he operated that level of dominion. That's triumphant living. You must grow your faith to a level where whatever you call it, that's what it is. That's why God told Abraham, you are the father of nations. This man has not one son. But whatever you call it, that's what it is. You want to walk in dominion, you must become a master of faith. You must grow your faith until circumstances respond to what you say. But you see, for you to operate here, there are four things. Number one, you must work on what you see and hear. Because the law of visualization must take its full course. You are a product of your processing. What you see and what you hear is who you are. So if you hear fear, you hear failure, you see it, you will process it into your manifestation. This is why many are not operating like this. So if we want to walk triumphantly, we must learn how to lock our ear gates and our eye gates. See, a Christian should not hear and see everything. You only hear and see what edifies. Because you are training your spirit. There is a power that your spirit must release at all times. Because your dominion is tied to it. They say God is able to do, Ephesians 3:20, exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think, according to the power that is at work on your inside. Many of us have not allowed that power to go to work. Because what we see and hear immobilizes that power. He said in Proverbs chapter 4 verse 20, how to begin to awaken that power. He said, my son, attend to my words. Incline thy ears unto my saying. He went further to verse 21. He said, put them in the midst of thy heart. They are life to them that find them. And health to all their flesh. He said, guard your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. I'm telling you, in addition to prophecy, in addition to laying on of hands, you must work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Some person's faith is rusty. That's why there's no manifestation in their life. Every one of us sitting here is supposed to be a sign and a wonder to our generation. I'm telling you, this is no longer something for prophets, for judges. We are in a new era. We are in a new generation. Every one of us carry Christ, and every one of us should manifest the glory of God. But the protocol is tied to the operation of faith. But our faith is rusty. What are you seeing? What are you hearing? You want to be a leader? You don't know any example in scripture that grew into global relevance. How can you be a leader? You know nothing about Nehemiah. You know nothing about Daniel. You know nothing about Esther. You know nothing about Deborah. And you want to be a leader. What then is inspiring you? Somebody say he wants to be a leader. Meanwhile, Kim Kardashian is her role model. And he comes to church on Sunday. When they say prayer, he lifts his hand. Honestly, he lifts his hand. He loves God. She loves God. But unfortunately, the mind is garbage. And so, the power within cannot work. The power is there, but it's dormant. What is on your inside, if it manifests, the world can explode. Instead, it's the same power that rose Jesus from the dead that dwells on our inside. That power. So, even if it's dead, you can command it to go back. How come we now appear helpless? Because that power is not at work. The operation of faith is still deadened by what we see and by what we hear. If you want faith to come alive, you must doctor what you hear and what you see. Because that is what wakes you up. I am a preacher, so I know what I see. If I'm going for a miracle service, I gathered the video clips after meditating on healing scriptures and praying to receive a word for the meeting. Sometimes I go as far back as Jaco. And the man enters the healing service. Somebody has cancer. He's not even praying. He says, come, let's look at it. Is it cancer you are talking about like that? And the person shows up. He says, now, Father, in the name of Jesus. As he's praying, he says, oh, look at it. Look at it. Cancer is out. Cancer. I go back and say, I didn't pray enough. Is it a cancer that I'm battling with and sweating that somebody handled so casually? What do you mean? I go as far back as A.A. Allen. They brought a child. The leg was like rubber. He said, stretch your hands in this direction. Right now, the Lord's going to heal it. Sir, there's no bone there. Pray this prayer in a safe place. Pray this prayer in a safe place. He said, come on, stretch your hands. Very authoritative. Stretch your hands. Oh, thank you, Father. It's done. Okay, come on, boy. Come on, come on. And the rubber leg suddenly becomes strong. And the child begins to walk. I said, what? Manta. Barakata sudak. Verakia zuzuzu. Baradina sagata. So, when I go to my own service, sometimes I become drunk. And I forget for a second. I think me too, I'm Jaco. I think me too, I'm A.A. Allen. And I, when I'm preaching, after a while, when the anointing is there, I say, who is sick here? Stand up, you are healed. You don't need prayer. Ayah. Verakia tu apakatoa. Verira duasta fecatinos. You are joking? He says, follow after them who through faith and patience obtain the promise. We will not stop until we too wrought valiantly in battle. Sometimes I'm going, why do you think sometimes I wear Sanchos? I'm going for healing. And I see Pastor Chris, he shows up with white suit, strolling. Is it a place where you are coming to deal with something that is risky, that you are wearing white suit for? Get up, get up, get up. My God. Is this how this thing works? It must happen in my own life. I will not stop. So as I'm praying, I'm visualizing in the spirit. I'm visualizing. And sometimes Jaco passes, or a robot passes, A.A. Allen passes, Pastor Chris passes, and I'm still praying. After a while, scripture start being animated. He said, when the evening was come, they brought all that were sick, that they might touch them. And he said, they touched them and rebuked sickness and healed them with his word. And me too, my meeting becomes evening. And I show up, it must happen. It must happen. Because Paul said, according as it is written, he said, they believe and have spoken. We having the same spirit of faith. The same spirit of faith. Not a different spirit. The same spirit of faith. We believe and therefore we speak. You are a music minister. Have you heard of Fanny Crosby? The blind woman that sang 8,000 hymns. Today they are singing her hymns. Hymns that never die. Anywhere you sing it, there's an anointing. If you like, go to a church where there are no instruments. As you leave the hymn, the presence comes down. And then you sing song. After 5 years, it vanishes. No way. If there is a God in them that made them rot that level of impact, that God must manifest in my own life. Because if it doesn't, we will not live here. This world will not end until we manifest God. That's how faith works. You become aggressive. You see it. You hear it. And you know what? When you have heard it, then you go to the second level. You start talking it. Because faith talks. You can't be in faith and keep quiet. In Romans 10:6, it said, the righteousness that is of faith speaketh on this wise. If there is faith, there must be speaking. Because it's when you speak that you direct the power. So the power that is now boiling on your inside, based on what you've seen and heard, you start channeling it. You start talking it. You start releasing it. It may not appear yet, but keep talking. It said, when your cloud be full of rain, it must empty itself upon the earth. You stand up, you say, this hospital will be the best in the world. This business, we must supply customers in England. We must supply customers in America. We must supply customers in Dubai. It's not only in Dubai they go to buy things. They will come from Dubai to buy from here. It looks like caricature. Keep talking. What you are doing is that you are building your cloud. When your cloud is saturated, the rain that will pour down. Aya. If you don't have enough container, it will become a flood. until you saturate your realm. And when you are done talking, take action. Because faith takes action. In James 2:19, it said that believers that there's only one God. It said that dwells where? The devil also believes and trembles. He said, but oh ye vain man, faith without works is dead. In verse 26, he said, as the body without the spirit is dead, he says, so also faith without works is dead. When you talk about the business, go and start the business. When you talk about healing, go and pray for the sick. He will say, you gather people in stadium, go and start evangelism. Anything you say, take corresponding action. Because if you don't take action, the Lord will not walk with you. He said in Mark 16:20, he said, and they went. And the Lord walking with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders following. It's when you go that God walks with you. And so anybody who wants to be triumphant by faith must learn how to go out. Listen, inaction will not take you anywhere. Be sufficiently mobilized. The angels are waiting for you to walk. God is waiting for you to walk. As you step out, something will happen. You will not be put to shame. He said they looked up to him. Their faces were radiant. They were not ashamed. You can't go out and God does not go with you. And as you start going out, you now pay the price to condition your atmosphere. Don't allow anything to choke your atmosphere. Make sure your conscience is pure. He said, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have shipwrecked their faith. Offense will come, remove it. When you start, they say, look at him. He's a proud person. He thinks, leave them alone. Let them be talking. Remove the offense. Don't respond. If you start responding, your life becomes a reaction. And you are too important to leave a reaction. You are on a course. God has written it before the foundation of the world. You are following your script. Remove the bitterness. In fact, train yourself to love your enemies. He said, faith worketh by love. Keep that atmosphere of love. As the love is growing, the faith is growing. As purity is growing, the faith is growing. And don't stop there. Add prayer to it. He said, whatsoever ye believe. He said, when you pray, if you ask, you will receive it. So add prayer to the atmosphere. And as you are building that atmosphere, you are sustaining it. Your manifestation is becoming bigger. It's becoming bigger. After a while, your neighbors will become aware. After a while, your fame will go abroad. After a while, the kings will start coming. After a while, the doors of nations will start opening. And your life start moving from one level of glory to another level of glory. And you are just basking in triumph. You are just basking in glory. And they say, how is it happening? You say, it is the manifestation of the faith of the Son of God. It's the manifestation of the faith of the Son of God. This is how we were designed to live. He said, the just shall live by faith. A point will come, you will do some things, they will look at you and say, ah, but you are a woman. You say, it's not gender sensitive. It is faith. It is faith sensitive. How can you be doing this? You are only a woman. It's not gender sensitive. It is faith sensitive. They look at you and say, how old are you? You are too young. It is not age sensitive. It's faith sensitive. They look at you and say, but you are a Nigerian. You are a black man. It is not race sensitive. It is faith sensitive. Wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever gender you are, if it is faith, it will work. Fire. Can you pray in the Holy Ghost?
To your kingdom, there is no end. Only as you are.
Only as you
are. Reign forever.
Reign forever.
To your kingdom, to your
kingdom,
there is no end. Only as you are.
Only as you are.
Reign forever.
You know the beauty of faith? When your faith is activated, you will now approach the Bible differently. When you are now reading the Bible, you are not reading like a theologian. You now start photocopying what is in the Bible. You will come and check.
You say, he laid hands on the sick, they recover. You now start looking for sick people. When somebody is sick, you lay your hand. Now, when you lay hands over time and it starts working, you now become creative. You now say, the sick people are many. You send handkerchief. What do you think they were doing? Why do you think it's called Acts of the Apostles? They became actors. Okay, Jesus said we should lay hands. Okay, let's start. They laid hands. Omo, they think they work. Okay, let's try something else. And in Acts 5:15, he said Peter was coming from the place of prayer. Say, hands is part of me. This is my shadow. Try that one. Let's see. And they put them and shadow began to walk. Shadow is walking. No, the news went abroad. Paul heard it. Oh, shadow is walking. That means anything from you will walk. Take handkerchief. And they were acting. They were acting God. They were acting God. A generation that will act God as a man. See, you go and read the Bible. They said Abraham had 318 trained servants. The question is, how many are untrained? And how many of them are married? And how many have children? You will now tell yourself, in this house, food will never finish again. We will never pray about food again. You have become an actor. An actor. Anything you see, you demonstrate it in your own life. You demonstrate it. You demonstrate it. You demonstrate it. And you are wondering, what's going on? How can David wake up and say, Lord, I will provide everything needed to build your house? Really? So one man can have enough to build the whole church. Father, from today. Oh. See, your life just becomes a demonstration. A demonstration. Lift your hands and say, I'm the one. Where even you become a portrait that your generation looks and act. I'm telling you. The first time I came here, when I saw the excellence, I said, what? What's happening in this place? And I looked at the length of the LED screen. I said, is this, can LED be long like this? How much is it? I saw everywhere. I started counting the screens. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I say, what's going on here? I now told myself, Father, I connect to this grace. If it's faith that is doing it, me too, I will enter. So when we started, I said, God forbid that I put cotton. I'm not putting any black cotton anywhere. I looked around, everybody was excited, full of the spirit, and things were just working. When I saw the people walking and serving, the passion with which they were serving, I said, how do they love this man so much? What is he telling them? You see people acting drama. They are acting with all their strength. I say, what is he telling them? He's sharing the word. Everybody is receiving. And when you look around, everybody is shining. This word is working. This word is working. Me too. It will work in the life of my people. So sometimes, When you are teaching during weekdays, I go and connect on YouTube. Look at you. Be joking. I'm copying and pasting. I'm copying.
Somebody stop! Refuse to be ordinary.
Refuse. The first time I met God's servant Reverend Goodheart was in, he came to Makurdi to preach for Pastor Abel Oloko. When he started talking, the whole place was on fire. We couldn't sit down. When we left that meeting, we discussed that matter for over 2 weeks. In fact, one of my friends went and changed his name to Goodheart. I'm on the altar, I'm not exaggerating. His name was Austin. He added Austin Goodheart. The power. I said, what? Is this how they preach the gospel? God forbid that I preach the gospel and people are not burning with flames. Because you can look at the world, epitomize it until you too become a symbol and people look at. That's dominion. That's triumphant living. The outworkings of faith. Can I pray for someone?
Yes.
Declarations I want to make. Some of us here, our world is too small because our imagination has formed a limitation and has reduced the boundary of our world. I want to pray that God will enlarge our visionary realm. Like I told you, it must be global. God can give you an instruction to stay in one small location that is based on your personal dealing with God. And if that is the case, stay there. But if God has not given you a personalized dealing to stay in one place, whatever you are doing, make sure it goes beyond limitation. It must be global. That's the scope and the magnitude of what God has put in us. Because we came here to manifest that order. The second prayer I want to pray for us is for embargoes to be lifted from our shoulders. There are many persons carrying weights, and these weights are slowing them down. These weights are limiting them, and there are forces servicing those weights to remain. But this is triumphant conference. The yokes must be broken. The burdens must be lifted off your shoulders. Because there is a generation awaiting your manifestation. And finally, the third declaration I want to make is for God to anoint your hands for exploits. There is so much you need to do. And these things need to prosper supernaturally. If it's following the protocol of time, it may take 5 lifetimes for it to happen. So the same way the hand of God came upon Elijah and he outran the chariots of Ahab. Somebody must outrun kings. Because of the urgency of what God wants to do with you. Please lift your hands toward heaven. Tonight I sense calmness in my spirit. Father, every force that makes for mental and visionary limitation. Tonight, under this atmosphere, I decree by the power of the Holy Ghost and the name of Jesus, let those forces be broken now. Father, in the name of Jesus, every embargo that your children, whoever they are tonight, may have carried, constituting limitations and impediment to their walk in fulfillment of purpose. Your word said the yoke shall be broken, the burden shall be lifted off their shoulders. I decree whatever burdens they are lifted now. And Lord, I decree now by the Spirit, there are those you want to anoint specially for supernatural manifestations. Can we lift our hands? Help my sister. There's an anointing that we descend here. In that place of quietness, the Lord will touch some of you as a sign. There's an oil that will flow here. He said it flows from the head of Aaron through his beard down to his skirt. It's like the dew upon Mount Zion. He said, there the Lord commands his blessings. Lord, there are those you want to anoint specially for a generation. And this is why you brought them to this conference. And so wherever they are standing now, from the left to the right, from the front to the back, to the galleries, to those watching online, let that anointing rest on them. Let that anointing rest on them. Ushers, help me now. Ushers, help me. Ushers, help me. Take that unction.
Blessed be thy name.
Can you bring them here?
Almighty. Who art and is and is to come. Blessed be your Lord God.
Thank you, Father.
My time is finished. But please hear me. Some of you will step into a realm of the anointing that will literally be creative in operation. And God will give you a grace for the consecration that powers that anointing. And so you will have encounters that will awaken your prayer altar. Because it will take volatility on the altar of prayer to sustain that dimension. As you depart from this meeting, strange encounters in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. God's servant, Reverend Williams Givens, have made an altar call already. But just in case you were not here when he made that altar call, I want to give you that opportunity again. Everything we've shared here is an exclusive reserve of the born-again Christian, the children of God. And so if you are here tonight, you have not publicly made the declaration that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. And like he said, if the trumpet should sound now, you are not sure you are going to heaven. All of these earthly blessings is a waste. Can you lift your right hand? I want to pray with you. If there's anyone here, can you lift your right hand? Is there anyone here? Is there anyone? Let's not take it for granted. If you are waving, just wave that hand. Those of you on the gallery, anybody here making that decision? Is there anyone here? Thank you, Father. There's someone? Okay, let that person come. I was giving 5 minutes for altar call. Let that person come.
For you are glorious and worthy to be praised. You're the Lamb upon the throne, and unto you.
In the name of Jesus, I'm trying to withhold myself. But you see, God is telling me there are a few of you here, about 3 persons that is setting on fire. There's a revival that is about to begin from your heart, and it will explode to the nations. Father, whoever that one is that you are setting on fire amongst us tonight, like the foxes of Samson, I speak over them. I speak over them. Ushers, please help me. The fire of God will descend upon 3 of them now. Massive revival and apostolic dimension for the nations. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I release that fire. I release that fire. I release that fire. I release that fire. Take that fire.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that he died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. If you just said these prayers, congratulations, you are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. God bless you.